Hi, and welcome to the Church and Gospel Podcast. I'm Ross Parker, Professor of Christian Studies here at CSU, and your host for today's podcast. Today, we're going to have another installment of our From the Classroom series. We'll be talking with Dr. Ed Gravely about the topic he's addressing in the classroom and how this topic is important for us as Christians. So we get to listen in a little bit on what's going on in the classroom with Dr. Gravely. Ed is our professor of Christian studies, specifically focusing in on New Testament and Greek. And Ed, it's good to have you here today.
It's good to be here.
All right. So what are you teaching on these days?
Well, this week in my New Testament survey class, we talked about the Judaizers of Acts 15 and of the book of Galatians.
Okay. So who are the Judaizers?
Well, it's actually quite a story. So Paul, on his first missionary journey, traveled through what is essentially South Central Turkey on a church planting mission. This is in the late 40s. And as he goes through that area, Christianity grows and spreads, and the work of the Spirit is happening, and lives are being changed, and people are believing in Jesus, and he, what we would call, plants a bunch of churches. Well, then as he leaves, he ends the first missionary journey and is returning to Antioch, which is sort of the launch pad for the missionary journeys. He gets word in Antioch that a group of false teachers, if you will, have moved into the area behind him, preaching a different gospel, and that all of those churches that he planted, many of them are being deceived and are falling into the false teaching of those false teachers. And so Paul addresses them as if they are believers. He doesn't militate against them in Galatians. He militates against the false teachers, and we call those folks the Judaizers. Now, that word can be a little deceiving. My students get a little hung up on that word. It does not mean that these are Jewish people who are trying to get the Christians, the new Christians in that area, to convert to Judaism. This is actually and I use this word carefully, a sect of Christianity. It's if they're false teachers, but they are Christian false teachers who are trying to get the Christians there who believe Paul's gospel, which is the gospel of salvation by faith alone, to actually believe a different gospel. In fact, there are even some scholars who don't even think the Judaizers were ethnically Jewish.
Interesting. Okay, so if they're trying to get these new Christians to kind of change what their view of the gospel message, so what are they teaching? What are these Judaizers teaching?
Well, we only have the response to the Judaizers. We obviously don't have them in their own words. And if you're looking for that response, the text of Galatians, what we call the book of Galatians, is that response, as well as the sermons and speeches that you get in Acts chapter 15. So what happens is when Paul gets to Antioch at the end of the first missionary journey, and he gets word that back in Turkey, all this theological turmoil is happening in his churches, he also gets word that it's happening other places as well, and that the apostles want to get all the apostles and missionaries together in Jerusalem. So if you're thinking about a map, he's sort of halfway between Galatia and Jerusalem, and he needs to be in two places at once. And so he travels down to Jerusalem because he wants to be there in person, and then he writes a letter, what we call Galatians, to the Galatians to combat the issue. Now, from reading Acts chapter 15, which is a record of that Jerusalem council, and the book of Galatians, we figure out a couple of things about the Judaizers. The most important thing is that they taught what Paul very clearly identifies as a different gospel. It is a gospel that is at least strongly related to the idea of law obedience. I would assume that they also believed in faith in Jesus. I mean, they are, by every measure, a Christian sect. They're just false teachers. And so they probably were preaching something like, you have to believe in Jesus, sure, but in order to be saved, you also have to keep the law of Moses. And the signature issue for them becomes the issue of circumcision. That's the law issue that Paul uses to sort of define their whole movement. So the way I present it to my students is it's sort of the teaching of the Judaizers was basically good news, bad news, right? The bad news is only Jews go to heaven. The good news is you Gentiles can also become Jewish and go to heaven, and you do that by practicing the law codes.
Okay, so how did Paul respond? You mentioned that he writes a letter and he goes to the Jerusalem Council. So what is his response kind of emphasizing?
Right, so when you look at the letter to the Galatians, he actually takes a very theological approach, and he also takes a very practical approach. And the theological approach, and I'm sure many of the listeners have read the book of Galatians, his theological approach is to not only explain the Old Testament origins of justification by faith, but also to point out the futility of obedience to the law, right? But by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. It's sort of a signature thing for Paul. The law is clear that everyone who does not keep all of the law is under a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so, of course, the gospel then is Christ became a curse for us so that we might receive the promises by faith. And so he's also going to argue from Abraham. And of course, Abraham becomes kind of a very important person for him in the argument, because Abraham clearly was a believer in God. He was clearly believed to be, he was justified. It was counted to him as righteousness. And yet all of those things were true about him long before there ever was a law code. And so if Abraham can be saved apart from law keeping, why can't we all be saved apart from law keeping? But he also takes a practical approach, which is he just simply points the Galatians to common sense. You know, he says, whose gospel did you? So imagine, remember the scenario. Paul goes in there, he preaches his gospel, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of justification by faith. And lives are changed, and churches are built, and missionary activity happens, and the work of the Spirit moves. And then the Judaizers came in and preached a different gospel. And Paul just simply asks, well, when all those good things of God were happening to you, whose gospel were you believing? It wasn't theirs, it was mine. And that's how he sort of transitions into the practical portion of Galatians, walk in the Spirit.
Okay, and so that's his response via the letter to the
right.
Galatians. What happens when he goes to Jerusalem and meets with the apostles and the elders there?
Yeah, so you get a very sort of shortened version of that, of the discussion there. You know, Luke is giving you summaries of things. But they conclude a couple of things. Well, first of all, let me back up. The debate in Jerusalem is further complicated by the fact that it's not just two factions. It's not just the missionaries and apostles who are arguing for salvation by faith alone, and the Judaizers who are arguing for salvation by obedience to the law. There was this third group that Luke in Acts 15 calls the Pharisees who believed. And they were the folks who were saying, they're believers in Jesus. Salvation is by faith in Christ. But once you become a Christian, you must also keep the law of Moses in order to be a good Christian. So they have to answer all of those questions.
Right.
And so to answer the question, what is the gospel? What did Jesus teach? You get to hear from the people who actually knew Jesus the best. You get to see the apostles, Peter, Paul, in action. And they say, salvation is by faith in Christ. That's how Jews are saved. That's how Gentiles are saved. That's how anyone who has ever been made right before God is, quote unquote, saved, is by faith and not by works. They also, and this is the part that was probably the most, I don't want to say caustic, but certainly the most adversarial, I guess, in its day, and that was they also are very quick to say the Gentiles are not under any obligation to keep the law of Moses. He says it was a yoke. Why would we put on them a yoke that was too heavy for us to bear? And they're leaving room for Jews, ethnic Jews, who want to continue to be ethnically Jewish, to be ethnically Jewish. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm 35 years old. I have not eaten bacon for 35 years. I'm not going to start now. But he says, we're not going to put the dietary requirements of the law codes on the Gentiles. And then the third thing, which is comes like James, who is among the apostles there, one of the pastors there in Jerusalem, also then writes a bit on the end of the letter and sends a letter to all the churches, which basically says, let me give you some ways that Jews and Gentiles are going to have to get along. And when he says things like abstain from blood, you know, in other words, if you're going to eat the blood, you know, if you're going to eat the blood pudding, probably don't serve that when your Jewish Christian friends come over, and we'll all get along much better.
Right. Okay. So, so this is good news for us as we think about not just what went on in the first century, but also for us in the 21st century. And so how might you make that connection of what happened there and what happens here?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Number one, understanding how to read the book of Galatians in light of Acts 15 is actually really enlightening. Acts 15 is helping you read the book of Galatians. And so if, for example, my students, when I have them read Galatians, we come back and I say, so what did you think? I always have at least one student who very sheepishly wants to say, Paul sounds mad. And he is definitely worked up because of the circumstances. He's not being grumpy. He's not being mean. This is not just on a bad day. These are people who they theologically sort of shot themselves by abandoning the true gospel for a false gospel. And he uses very strong language to try to call them back. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? If anybody preaches a gospel other than the gospel that I preach, let him be accursed. Anathema is the Greek word. He concludes the gospel with, he's talking about circumcision. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And it's the battering that his body took being a missionary, not circumcision, that's a genuine mark of Jesus. And so just knowing how these pieces fit together will help you read the book, be a much better reader of the book of Galatians. But of course, I mean, this is Christian history. This is the Reformation. This is why we are Protestants. This is why we're evangelicals, because we believe the apostles, the people who knew Jesus the best, and we believe Jesus, that salvation is not by works, that salvation is by, and always has been, by faith alone. And of course, that's the best news. Because Paul asked the question, if you're going to be good in order to get into heaven, how good must you be? How many laws must you keep of the law codes in order to make God happy with you, happy enough to declare you to be righteous? And the answer is, the law itself answers that question. You must do all of them, all of the time, for all time. In other words, we already took the test and we've already failed. And so if anybody is going to be made right before God, it is only going to be by God's grace through our faith and not by works. It's a work of the Spirit through our faith in justification. And that's absolutely good news. And that's good news that modern religious people, be they Christian or otherwise, absolutely still need to hear in the modern day.
All right. Well, thanks for taking some time to talk with us about what's going on in the classroom.
No problem.
And connecting these important passages of Scripture, and also seeing how this helps us to interpret the Scripture even today as we read it. So thank you guys for listening on our podcast today, and we look forward to having you join us for our next podcast.